Hello and welcome back to Press Any Button. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Eric.
And today we're going to be talking about Doki Doki Literature Club. Doki Doki Literature Club is a freeware visual novel game developed by Team Salvato. Although the game initially appears to be a lighthearted dating simulator, it is in fact a psychological horror game. Spoiler warning, we would definitely recommend playing this game before listening to this episode because we will be talking about surprises, plot twists, endings, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And an additional warning, this game does go into some sensitive topics like mental illness, self-harm, abuse, and suicide. So if you are easily disturbed by these topics, you may want to skip this episode and also skip the game.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. So, Eric, you have a lot of cool history?
Yeah, I definitely do.
All right, let's get into it.
So, Nikki, are you excited about the history to this game?
Oh, yeah. I know. It's a very interesting game, so I hope it has an interesting story behind it.
I think so. Okay. I think it's kind of interesting.
All right, let's hear it.
So, Doki Doki Literature Club was developed by an American programmer named Dan Savato over the course of approximately 2 years. So, mostly kind of a passion project of one person.
Was it his main job, or did he kind of do it on the side?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what his main job was.
Because you say passion project, so that makes me think, you know, he wasn't, like, paid to do it.
Well, I say that because, you know, one of the first things he did was give it away for free. When they do that, you kind of assume it's not going to be their main source of income.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, okay, so this was Savato's first game. Prior to creating this, he had created a Super Smash Bros. Melee mod called 20XX Tournament Edition and some Mario Maker levels, including the infamous P is for Pain level. Have you heard of that level?
No, I'm sure you have though, right? Because you got into that game for a while.
Yeah, so the level is kind of set up like it's all P switches and spikes.
What are P switches again? Oh, is that the little, like, dome button thing that you jump on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they like turn the coins into blocks.
Yeah, okay. Or I know blocks what you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's all P-switches on spikes.
Oh,
and that's the entire level, so you have to, like, continuously jump as you...
What's the... Do you know what... I wonder what the success rate on that one is.
I think it's pretty low.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It's one of those Kaizo levels.
He kind of went... So his level kind of went viral because it was... so hard.
Yeah.
And kind of like, what's the word when you like inflicting pain on people?
Oh,
sadistic.
Yeah.
It's kind of sadistic sounding.
Yeah.
Like, mwahaha. So that's cool. So mostly just like kind of like free stuff, not technically working for any big game developers or like anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just kind of like a homebrewer.
I feel like these like visual novel things would actually be kind of easier to make than, say, something that involves a lot of movement. Because you're pretty much just looking at still, like, illustrations the whole time.
Yeah,
for the most part.
It seems like a really good way to make a first game.
Yeah.
Because it is really kind of simple to program. But he does a lot of cool stuff in this game that you don't really see in a lot of other visual novels, so... But anyway, so Savato drew inspiration from the games Yume Nikki and Aversion. Have you heard of either of those two games?
No.
Yeah, I hadn't either. So Yume Nikki is a surreal horror RPG maker game.
Yume Nikki, like my name.
Like Y-U-M-I-N-I-K-K-I.
All one word?
No, two words.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Just trying to figure out because like sometimes it's hard to...
Yeah,
visualize what the actual words are, you know, like, I don't know.
No worries. But, okay, so that game was a surreal horror RPG maker game, and Aversion is a puzzle platformer that starts off bright and cheery and gradually becomes dark and disturbing as you play it.
Hmm.
They were both freeware games that came out around the 2007, 2008 years.
Okay.
And interesting side note, Yume Nikki was also an inspiration for the game Undertale as well.
Interesting.
Just thought that was kind of interesting. It might be worth going back and playing at some point just because it seems like it's been an inspiration for a couple of really good games. So discussing the horror elements of the game, Savato explained that he was inspired by things that are scary because they make you uncomfortable, not because they shove scary looking things in your face.
That's where I like the psychological horror comes from instead of, you know.
Yeah, so you definitely got the impression that that's kind of what he was going for in the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I mean, there's a few scenes, you know, that are kind of gross, but for the most part, it's more playing with your mind and stuff than like showing actual gory things or like disturbing like imagery.
Yeah, it definitely plays with your own imagination, that's for sure. Savato was also inspired by his love-hate relationship with anime and emphasized the abundant use of cliches in the genre and the frequent plot centering around cute girls doing cute things, which he saw as both an asset and a detriment to the viewer's enjoyment.
I can see that, and I respect it. I like that he did that.
Yeah, me too. The character designs were initially done by Dan in a free online anime creation program, and the final drawings were done by a freelance artist, Satchley.
So he did like a basic version of like, you know, this one's going to have purple hair, blah, blah, blah. And then artists took those basic ones and kind of turned it into more detailed version that we have for the game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Neat. He decided he wanted to have an artist do it because those the freeware characters just didn't.
Oh, they probably look super generic.
Yeah, they look super generic.
It's free.
So Savato also composed all the game's music.
That's cool.
Which is mostly calm and serene with the exceptions of a couple tracks. Jillian Ashcraft lent her voice as Monica in the end credit song, Your Reality.
Neat.
Yeah.
So he wrote that song too?
I think he did all the music, basically.
A man of many talents.
Seriously.
The music is okay. Like, it's kind of repetitive, though, for the most part. I mean, but it's still, like, pretty impressive that he, like, he was very ambitious to take on, like, every aspect of the game.
Pretty much, yeah. And honestly, I kind of found the music pretty catchy.
Yeah, I like it.
But, yeah, it does kind of get repetitive, mostly because, you know, there are only so many tracks.
Yeah.
Doki Doki Literature Club was released in 2017 on PC, Mac, and Linux as freeware with the option to pay what you want. In June of 2021, a plus version of the game was released on Steam, Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X for $15. The plus version features 6 new side stories, 100 unlockable images, 13 new music tracks. There was also a physical release of the plus version of the game for $30.
So, I don't know, that sounds worth it. That's a lot of extra stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we played the free version of the game, but I feel like it's always good to go back and support the artist if you like their work.
So, do you think he was working on that pretty much the whole time in between, just working on the additional content for the game? Or I wonder if he took a break and then decided to add to it later, you know?
I think he saw how popular it got. And then went back and did like a plus paid for version for kind of like the fans.
Yeah, that makes sense because I'm sure fans want more. And then also he can make a little bit of money. So
exactly. Yeah, it really does make sense. So within 3 months of release, Doki Doki Literature Club was downloaded over 1 million times. The game received high praise for its innovation and unexpected plot twists. It won several People's Choice Awards at IGN's Best of 2017, including Best PC Game, Best Story, and Most Innovative.
Wow, Best PC Game?
It's the People's Choice Awards, not like the critic reviews. The Plus version received over 500,000 purchases within 2 weeks of release. So,
dang.
Yeah, it's done pretty well.
I mean, but still Best PC Game? Like, out of all the PC games? Like, even more like action ones and stuff.
Well, from the People's Choice standpoint, I can understand how just releasing something for free might gain you popularity.
Okay.
But yeah, I kind of agree with that. I thought I misread that too. But
I'm just thinking of all the games that come out for PC, and it's just there's a lot of different games, and I'm kind of surprised that like it's kind of a smaller, more simple game. So for it to win like Best PC Game. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of...
No, I agree with you. I have five fun facts.
Fun facts. Yeah. All right. I'm ready.
Okay. So Dan Savato is a retired professional Smash Brothers Melee player who went by the name Internet Explorer.
Wow. That's cool.
Who do you think the main character he played as was?
For Smash Brothers?
Yeah, Melee.
So I haven't played Smash Brothers that much, but I'll just guess like Mega Man. Mega Man is in Smash Brothers, right?
Yeah, well, it's in the later ones. I don't think it was actually he was actually in Melee.
Kirby.
he mained Link.
Okay.
Yeah, like Internet Explorer, like Hyperlink.
Yeah, that's very clever. Very clever.
That's fun.
I like it. So he's a big nerd, basically.
Yeah. Also, Dan Savato is the current world record holder for an any percent speed run of an N64 game I know you played. Do you want to take a guess at what game it is?
An N64 game? Mario Kart?
No. I'll give you a hint. It has a green dinosaur in it.
Yoshi's Island?
Yoshi's Story.
Oh, Yoshi's Story. Okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
So he holds the world record for
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he's
that's
the current
cool.
World record holder.
Dang, that's kind of like that game is not easy to play.
Yeah, I looked back at a little bit of his speed run and man, it's nuts.
That's cool. We should go, like, I want to watch it.
Yeah. So, yeah, his time is 10 minutes and 59 seconds.
So this guy, I mean, not only does he create games, but he is obviously a really good gamer, like, at playing games. So just in general, he sounds like someone that's really well-respected and kind of well-known in the gaming community if you're, you know, kind of, like, into all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Sounds like you could have heard about him for a lot of different reasons, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of cool, though, like a very interesting dude.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
to learn about his life.
We'll do that. We'll save that for another episode. Okay, so fun fact number three, Doki Doki is a Japanese onomatopoeia for a heart beating quickly, usually with anticipation or excitement.
That is awesome. That's cool.
Do you know any other titles with the words Doki Doki in them?
No, I haven't. Heard of any, have you?
The first one, or actually the only one I can think of, is Doki Doki Panic, which was the original Mario 2.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear that story?
I think so. That's where they came out with Mario 2, but it was too hard. Yeah. They thought it would be too hard for the United States players, right? So
yeah.
they switched it out for another game.
Yeah, it was a game
and
called
just put, like Mario character sprites over like the other characters.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. So yeah, they pretty much did a sprite swap with the Mario characters, but the game was originally called Doki Doki Panic.
That's pretty cool.
Fun fact number four, the main character was intentionally designed to be generic and unlikable as a potshot towards other stock visual novel protagonists. So did you like the main character? Like, was he generic and unlikable as Dan was trying to make
him? I don't think he was unlikable. Pretty generic, I guess. He had some things, like he liked manga, and you kind of learned that he was a little bit of like a nerd and, you know, like didn't want to be in clubs and stuff. So I don't know. Is that generic?
I don't know. It felt kind of generic to me.
Yeah. I mean, generic-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just picking out stuff, but I haven't played a lot of these games, so I'm guessing that he's going by, like, other main characters that are normally, like, in these stories and just trying to go off, like, the most basic stereotypes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I took away from that. I don't play a lot of visual novels, so, yeah, I'm also not that sure.
It may be because they also set it up so that, like, you are the main character.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think of myself as generic. You know, I'm definitely not generic. So, but yeah, I can see what you're saying for sure.
Okay, so fun fact number five. The game is free because Savato feared people might feel ripped off for paying for a game whose plot swerves completely in content and tone after the first act.
Well, that's like the main selling point for the game.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's why everyone likes it. You know?
I think initially, like, there wasn't a lot of warning that it was going to be a horror game when people played it and downloaded it.
Okay.
So that might be why, because, you know, it's kind of looks a lot like just a friendly visual novel.
So when it very first came out, did they not have the content warning on it?
I don't think they did. Okay. No.
Because when we played it, there was at least two different warnings.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, sensitive content, don't play this if you're a child, you yeah. know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, those were later additions to the game, so.
So I wonder what it was like being like one of those first people, like buying a game, thinking it's going to
be
one
thing. Well,
they
weren't buying it. It was free. Yeah, downloading it.
Like, not buy, but like, you know, getting it, I guess.
Yeah.
And playing it, thinking it's going to be one thing, and then it starts to like do the freaky stuff. We're like, what the hell?
Yeah, that would
be. Is there something wrong with the game? No, this is on purpose.
Yeah, that would be pretty unnerving, I think.
It kind of would make it more scary, I think, if. Because when we were playing it, I knew already it was going to be a psychological horror game. So in my head, you know, I was anticipating a lot of creepy stuff to go down.
Yeah.
So when
yeah,
it started to get creepy, I definitely wasn't surprised. You know, I was like waiting for it. So.
Yeah. And that's all my fun facts.
Nice. I have a fun fact.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Kind of random, but... you know the one scene where, okay, spoiler, we already said spoilers, but like after Yuri stabs herself mm-hmm. and you're stuck there all weekend with her dead body.
Yeah.
So there's 1,400 lines of gibberish dialogue during that part of the game.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, did you like click on the skip button for that so it would just like speed run through all of it?
Yeah, eventually you get to the point where it's just so much of the same text where you pretty much skip it, I think.
Yeah, because by skipping it, it doesn't just skip it, it just like runs through all the lines like really, really fast.
Yeah.
And
it still takes a long time even if you're skipping through
it. There's 1,400 lines of dialogue of gibberish during that scene.
Yeah,
I thought that was like just
for me,
so much.
For me personally, I was afraid I was going to miss something. So I was like skipping it. And then I'd like take my hand off the control key and I'd like skip. It's like, nope, nothing happening. Okay.
Just not more. Me. I was just like, skip. And then it was like, I was like, oh God. And then you figure out you've been there with her like day, night. Oh, okay. Anyways. But yeah. 1,400 lines.
Dang.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's my fun fact.
Cool, yeah, good fun fact.
Thank you.
So did you have any pros you like about the game?
Oh, yeah, I got a ton of pros. Overall, really like this game. I think it's super creative, super fun. I almost wish I didn't know that it was a psychological horror game.
Well, would you have played it if you didn't know it was psychological horror, though?
Well, I mean, if you would have picked it as a game for the podcast, obviously, okay. Yeah, I would have played it. Just this genre in general is not like my go-to game type.
Same here.
But I guess I wouldn't have been able to play it not knowing, just because they have the warning on there now.
Yeah.
But unless I was like one of the first people to play it. But I think it would have been scarier not knowing to anticipate the scary stuff. But that being said, I like that it's a slow burn kind of game. Like the first act is, I guess, pretty happy and cheerful.
Yeah, it gives you time to get comfortable within its
yeah.
like universe and with its characters and stuff like that.
Yeah. And there's some kind of slightly weird stuff that like is said in the poems and stuff just to kind of warm you up, I guess.
Yeah, it's actually really good foreshadowing, I feel
yes.
like, in the poems.
Yeah. But yeah, it just kind of slowly, progressively gets weirder and weirder like as you play. And I think the pace that it goes at is like a pretty good pace to like kind of get you comfortable, and then it'll do something, and it'll like get you comfortable, and then it'll do something.
Yeah. And I feel like the girls in the game were, although they were kind of generic, they were also generally likable as well.
Yeah. You thought they were all kind of generic?
Well, they're generic tropes within anime, I feel like.
Okay. And this could just be my lack of just anime knowledge and stuff like that, but I actually put as one of my pros that I thought the characters were all pretty different with their own stories and
they're different from one another,
their
for
own
sure.
personality quirks and like weirdness, But you're saying that those are kind of like normal stereotypes that you
would
see.
Well, the tropes are like, you know, the childhood friend, the girl who acts tough but is into cute things, and then like, I don't know, just like those kind of tropes are like really common.
Okay.
But they do a really good job of defining them as more characters, and that they are generally likable.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because that's something I do like, is I liked how all the characters were different, and I don't know, they all had their weird things that they did. It was like, oh, which one's going to turn out? I don't know. At first, I didn't know what was going to happen, so I was like, which one's going to be the serial killer? You know, which one's going to do this? And I was trying to figure out, like, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't that far off, though. So one of my pros is the twist. This is the only game where I've literally had to delete a file to progress the story.
Yeah.
I love the glitchy effects he was able to create within a very limited visual novel framework he used to make the game.
Yeah, I agree. I have, like, this game definitely messes with your mind and your imagination. I think one thing for knowing that it was a psychological horror from the beginning is that you are trying to anticipate what's going to happen. And so, at least for me, my mind was going to, like, all these different horrible scenarios. I was like, what's the worst things that could possibly happen? You know, and I was trying to predict, I guess, in a way, what was going to happen.
Yeah, same here.
And I don't know. I mean, I didn't really guess everything. Some stuff I was, like, kind of had an idea of, and I think that he did that on purpose. Mm-hmm. But some stuff I didn't guess at all. I don't know. How did you go about that? Was your mind the same way? Were you trying to guess what was going to happen and stuff?
Yeah, I thought there were going to be some jump scares in it, honestly.
There was a few.
And I actually had that as a pro. I hate jump scares, and this game doesn't really rely on jump scares, and that's a plus to me.
They don't rely on jump scares, but there was some good ones in there, I thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, just like the face flashing creepy, or like,
oh yeah, you know, I guess kind of.
Especially for me, there was like one part where you go out into the hallway looking for Yuri and you spot her with her like arms all cut up and stuff. Like, that was kind of a jump scare moment.
That's absolutely true.
So I liked that. And then also, like you said, it gets very meta, you know, at the end. Like, you're saying you have to go out of the game, go into your computer file on your computer, like, not playing the game, to delete a character file, like, on the back end, and then you have to go back into the game to continue playing the game.
Yeah.
And this is all built into the how you're supposed to play the game. So, like, it gets meta pretty quickly at the end.
Yeah, and I've never seen a game do that. So.
Me either. I didn't even know. I mean, I don't know. That's so creative. I just don't even know if I would have think to do something cool like that.
Yeah.
Another cool thing is this. So, like, towards the end, like we were just talking about, the game starts to break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And certain characters become aware, or they have been aware, and they make it known that they know they are characters in a game.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it's just so cool.
Yeah.
It's just so cool how they put you, I don't know, I guess you are playing a character, but the way they set it up is, like, you start to feel like, oh, crap, this, like, is going to come out of the computer and, like, start, like, haunting me or something, like, in real life. It's like the Ring movie, like, in real life or something. You play this game and then Yuri comes and haunts your dreams or something.
Yeah, I love how it messes with, like, the save files and the title screen and all that stuff to, like, get into your head.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it gets rid of the title at some point, at one point, and you no longer go into the title screen, and you're just going into this part with Monica at the end.
Yeah.
Anytime you close or open the game, it's just her. So one of the things I liked was the fact that it was free. I always appreciate creators who put that much time and effort into creating something and then give it away.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, one of my other favorite games of all time is also freeware, Cave Story.
Oh, yeah.
That was also a game that was made by pretty much one guy, and then he just gave it away.
Yeah, it's very generous of them.
Yeah.
Especially when it turns out to be a really cool, creative game that they definitely, like, easily would spend $15 to $20 on this game.
Oh, you know? And so. It actually is kind of good that he gives people the option who are kind of fans of the game, if they do want to support him, to go ahead and get, like, a plus version of it.
Yeah. And I guess, like, you said, the first game, people could pay something if they wanted, but it was just like pay what you want sort of thing. So yeah, you could get it for free, or if you're feeling generous, you could pay $5, $10, $50, whatever you want. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
depending exactly. on your financial status. Another thing that I think is really cool in this game is like sort of like, and this is another part of like the horror, but you kind of lose control as the main character. I mean, you're playing the game, and I put that in air quotes, but I feel like a lot of it kind of starts to not matter so much, and the game is just like doing its own thing without you, which is scary too, because you're like, I don't know, it's just a whole nother layer, I guess, of fear.
Yeah, yeah, because you don't know what it's going to do.
Yeah, usually in video games, obviously, like, you're always in control. Like, that's the main point of the game. And so for them to kind of take it away in this story, it's like, ooh, I don't like this.
Yeah, very true. My last pro is that the music is pretty catchy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like kind of repetitive, but I like the songs, you know, but it's just kind of the same song throughout most of the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very cheerful and happy, and it's good because you're reading a lot during this game, and so you don't necessarily want the music to be distracting.
Yeah.
So it's kind of good in that way too.
Get some chill vibes to get you relaxed.
Yeah. And then scare the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
So what's some things that you don't like about the game?
I felt like the story might build a little bit too slowly for some people, especially if someone's like kind of expecting like horror right off the bat.
Yeah. At first I did sort of feel that way, but then once I got through the game, I was like,
you see why
they did that. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a very slow start, but to me the payoff is worth it, but I can see how some people might not like the fact that it takes so long to build towards the actual horror aspect.
Yeah. I could see that too.
What about you?
So, I mean, this might be slightly controversial opinion, but I almost think the game could have been, like, more creepy and more scary. I don't know, I guess it's because I listen to, like, a lot of true crime and stuff and, like, watch a lot of scary movies, but I feel like on the scary scale, I don't know, I would give this maybe, like, a 4 or 5, at least for me.
4 or 5 out of 10?
Out of 10. Like, okay. I guess I don't get scared that easily. It has to be like kind of extreme, I guess, for me to get scared.
This game, I feel like, was more disturbing and less scary in the sense.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But it's still good. But yeah, almost they could have just turned it up a little, like just a notch.
Yeah, I feel
scarier for me.
I feel like the game kind of lost a little bit of momentum towards the end once you kind of got what it was going for and what it was doing.
Yeah. Like at the end, once it's just you and Monica,
yeah,
and you pretty much just have to listen to her talk, but like for all eternity.
Yeah, but I get why they did that because it does play into the game, and you know, having to delete her file and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But and it does take you a while to get the fact that there's no way to get past this. It's just going to loop forever. It's just going to be there forever. She's going to say different stuff for the most part, but some of the stuff is going to start to loop, I think.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Eventually, it does start to loop. I read that.
Okay.
And also, I read that like if you leave her for like 3 years and come back into the game, she is like really mad or something. Like something happens in the game. Like if you don't, like I guess quit the game and you just somehow leave her in there for 3 years, something happens. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Like and also creepy and scary too. So she's living in the computer right now.
Just, yeah, yeah, that's. Yeah, that sounds weird. So another con I had was I want to see the poem my character wrote.
That's the other one I have too.
So yeah, you have a segment of the game where you're picking words to try to impress the girls. Like when you pick a word, like one of the girls were kind of like jump for joy or like a little emoji of
yeah,
her.
Yeah, so
or
you
a
have
icon
these,
of her.
You have these screens where you're writing a poem. And I put that in air quotes because they pretty much just have a piece of paper with a bunch of different, like, keywords on it.
Yeah.
And so you're picking these keywords. And I guess the goal is to try to pick the words that go with whatever girl you're trying to, like, impress the most.
Yeah.
That way you're crafting the poem exactly for her. But yeah, they don't show you what your poems say. And I'm like, that's not cool. We get to see what all their poems say. And I'm just like, I guess that's like a way to make your character really generic is to not even let them, like, not even see what kind of poems they're writing. Apparently, like, the girls like them, but you don't really know.
I know this would have taken away from the horror aspect, but I think they should have made it into like a Mad Lib or something.
That'd be funny. But yeah, like, just for reference, so like, you're playing the game, you know, you're the main character who's like a generic dude, and your childhood best friend, her name is Sayori, right?
Yeah.
She wants you to join her new club. It's a literature club. And so you're like, whatever, I'll go check it out. And basically you get roped into joining this club because there's a bunch of hot chicks in it. And you're like, yeah.
Yep.
Opportunity. And so like, that's how it starts out, and you're like, oh, this is a dating simulator, because you're like writing these poems for all these girls and stuff.
Yeah.
And then freaky stuff starts to happen.
Yep.
But yeah, oh, I was gonna just say, so you've got Sayori, your best friend, you've got Yuri, who is the purple hair kind of loner chick, and then you got Natsuki, who's the like acts tough, but she likes cute stuff.
Cutesy.
And yeah, and then you've got Monica, who you've heard us talk about, and she's the actual president of Lit Club, and also, like, villain, I guess, of the game.
Yeah, definitely the main villain.
Oh, yeah. She's the main creeper.
But she comes off as, like, kind of the cheerleader, preppy.
Yeah, like, perfect, like, smart, artistic, everything.
Yeah.
Total package chick. But yeah, that's the only two cons that I have for the game, so I'd like to hear kind of, like, what other stuff you have.
I only had two other ones. So another con I had was that the story is very linear, like very, very linear.
What do you mean by that?
Like, there's not a whole lot of branching.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
In the story. It's
yeah,
either
it's pretty much
be,
Lit Club, like, the whole time.
Yeah, depending on which girl you impress with your poems, you'll get a little bit of different stories or a little bit of branching with that. But pretty much it's just like, mostly one straight shot to the end.
Yeah, that's true.
And once you complete the main story, unless you want to go back and see some of those other stories, there's not really a whole lot of replayability in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you just like to torture them, jeez.
yeah, unless you're just trying to get the other ending, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there's two endings that you can get, right?
Three.
Three?
There's three endings, but one is really involved to get, and the other is really simple. I'll go into that in a second. And yeah, maybe the plus version of the game kind of solves some of this, since it adds some side stories.
Yeah, that's true, because we only played the original version.
Yeah, we only played the freeware version.
Yeah, if I would have known, I didn't really know that the plus one came out so recently, or we probably should have played that one, but...
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well.
Our bad. And then my other con... Or more of just kind of a criticism, I guess. Or actually more of just something I'd like to see in the game. the game plays with the idea of being able to manipulate the game's character files from your computer file browser in order to alter the gameplay experience. I wanted the game to go maybe a little bit further with this idea. Like, you know, what
so
if
you
I...
So you could go in and maybe try to play without Yuri or something.
Yeah,
or like delete
different
another
combinations
character.
Or
yeah.
Even like maybe change some of the stats within a character file or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It's like, maybe he didn't know how to do that, because it didn't sound like he was that advanced of a video game developer, but that now that he's kind of has the concept out there, it'd be cool to see another game that you could do that with.
Yeah,
that'd be neat, really cool.
But yeah, I agree, he probably didn't do it, because there would be a ton of programming in that, and
yeah, and it was just him, so.
Yeah. Maybe a larger project in the future. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool. Yeah, overall, I think it's a pretty cool game. I would definitely recommend it, especially like for Halloween, spooky season. If you're looking for like a kind of a scary-ish game, I would definitely recommend playing it.
Yeah, I give it good marks as well.
Another thing is, I just thought of this, but like, it doesn't take a lot of skill to play, as far as like video
true.
Game skills.
Yeah,
so pretty much if you just like to read, like, you can play this game.
Yeah very easy. Okay, so strategy, and I kind of have story on here if you want to talk about some of the endings and stuff.
Yeah, why don't we do the story first and then the strategy?
Well, there's not really much strategy.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like you could try to impress.
So you want to talk about strategy first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess you can kind of try to impress the girls with your poems and kind of like picking choices.
Yeah. I guess it depends on what your goal is for the game.
Yeah.
Because like you gave me the challenge to kill all my friends. So
yeah.
For me, I think maybe I played the game a little bit differently than I normally would have. Because I think I normally probably would have like tried to woo like one of the girls. But like I was trying to kill all my friends. So
yeah.
So my main like strategy, I figured like Yuri was the like most psycho one. So I was trying to woo her over. Because I was like, she's definitely like a serial killer for sure. And
yeah.
So like I think that affected like some of the choices I made and stuff.
I feel like I should clarify the challenge a little bit because yeah, I did say to kill all your friends, but that achievement basically is where your character makes a statement that he's killed all his friends. He doesn't actually kill all his friends. It's kind of Monica doing the manipulating into killing them. Like you don't physically kill any of them.
Yes, not me in the game, but me the game player kind of does, right? My choices.
No, that's the thing though, is that none of your choices matter.
Wait,
I guess.
Are you saying that? Okay.
What?
Are you saying I didn't beat the challenge? Because I did not ride rap.
No, I'm saying you beat the challenge. I'm just saying that, like, as long as you play through the game, you'd get that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that when
yeah,
I was
no,
playing
no, no.
it.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to clarify that. You don't physically kill your friends. It just kind of happens in the game, and your character
true.
Makes that statement. And it's actually, that's the achievement. I didn't realize that you didn't actually do that. So that was my bad.
That's okay. Okay. I just figured that all my friends died, so like I completed the goal.
Okay.
Everyone eventually, all my friends were dead, so
yeah. Gotcha. Okay, so you want to talk about the story and the ending?
Yeah.
So the game story kind of works under the premise that whoever is president of the literature club becomes aware of the fact that they are trapped inside the game.
Yes.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Okay.
You get that after you delete Monica from the game.
Yeah.
And then once you start over playing a new game, like it's not really a new, but you know, you're continuing on and the game kind of makes you think you're playing a new game.
Yeah.
But yeah, then you have Sayori, right, as the president instead of Monica.
Yeah, and then she is aware of the fact that all this stuff happens.
Yeah, she kind of pretty much starts acting like Monica. So it's like, ugh.
Well, she becomes self-aware and then she deletes everything.
Mm-hmm.
To keep to prevent them from going through horrible stuff again, she deletes it all, like all the files and stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the normal playthrough. And yeah, Monica is the villain. She uses the fact that she's self-aware to kind of like torture the other girls throughout the game.
Yeah.
By manipulating their code and exacerbating like underlying mental illnesses.
Yeah, like throughout the game the girls kind of get more and more like annoying, I guess. And you're like, why is that happening?
Yeah.
Like,
or weird or like,
yeah, they're acting weird. And like, I don't know, for me, I was like, oh, they're just starting to act weird because they all have crushes on me, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes when you have a crush on someone, you can like start acting weird, especially like in high school and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just kind of figured maybe that was what was happening a bit. So it was kind of neat to figure out what was Monica, the mastermind, doing all those things.
Her goal was basically to become the only dateable option for you.
Yeah. But I never was that interested in her. Even like towards the end when everyone was being annoying, I was still like,
not really?
That into Monica. I don't know.
I don't know. I started picking her for stuff. I'm like,
you did?
Yeah. It's like, okay, Yuri's kind of acting weird. Like, let's hang out with Monica instead.
Well, I was pretty like set on Yuri too, so like I was really trying to like stay with her the whole time. Even
okay.
When she started to get real creepy, I was just like, whatever, I can look past your flaws.
Yeah. So then you delete her file, Sayori becomes president, deletes the game, and that's the normal ending. The two other endings are the good ending and the quick ending. In order to get the good ending, you have to see every scene with all three girls in Act 1 before the point where the game automatically deletes all your save file.
Yeah. And see, I was reading about this ending and I didn't realize that you could, I guess, save the game and then go back. Because, like, to get that ending, you have to write two poems for each girl,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But, like, you can't do that without replaying some parts of the game,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So you basically have to save the game. But then, like, how do you do that? Save the game and then start it, but you pick where you start from or something?
Yeah, so you play through almost all of Act 1, but not to the point where you have your save files mm-hmm. deleted. Reload from an earlier save point and then play through courting a different girl.
Yeah.
Again, loading before the point where it deletes all the save files again and doing that like
three
times.
So you just do that three different times.
Yeah.
That would be kind of hard because, like, some of the words you think are going to go with one girl, but then, like, they go for another girl.
Yeah, you know? It kind of throws some curveballs at
you
when you're trying to.
So you might have to, if you're trying to do that, you might have to play through that, like, six times or so to actually get it right.
I feel like it's not too bad once you kind of get an idea for the words. I mean, you're right, it just throws some curveballs, but you can generally get one that they'll like. I don't know how many words you have to get right to get it so that they like it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, I don't think it's that difficult.
It's not like 100%.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be 100%.
Okay. But I don't know, did you think about doing that?
No.
Because I didn't even think that was like a thing you could do.
I didn't think about doing that either. You also have to unlock an extra scene with Monica in Act 3. Yeah, and the only difference in this ending is Sayori will thank you for trying to make all the girls happy, and you'll get a note from the developer instead of Monica at the end of the game.
Yeah, cool.
Yep.
And then you said there was a quick ending.
Yeah, so the quick ending, you basically need to delete Monica's file before you start a new game. Sayori will immediately start to freak out, not wanting to go through the game again, and she'll delete the other girls, and you'll get just an image of Sayori hanging herself.
Ah, interesting. So if you're trying to be clever and restart the game over, and you're like, I'll just go ahead and delete Monica now.
Yeah.
I'm so smart. The game's like, nah.
Pretty much.
Sucka. Like, we're punishing you for doing that.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's kind of interesting that they thought about that. They were like, yeah, people are going to think they're going to be smart and do this, and we're going to, like, have something else planned for them. So it's neat. It's neat that the game even knows that you do that.
Yeah. That's one of the things I was saying. There's not a whole lot of replayability, like, unless you're trying to get, like, the good ending.
Yeah, or you just want to get all the endings for your own satisfaction.
Yeah, true.
Some people, you know, the completist people, they want to do all the things. I respect it, but I'm not one. So Eric, was there any like future for the game?
I couldn't find much for the future,
I guess, other than the plus version coming out recently. Yeah. It's not really future, but
well, the plus version and the physical release of the game was also pretty recent. I know that kind of got back ordered for a while, but I think they got it stocked again. I think the game recently came out in Japan in October, but yeah, that was the only other thing I could find.
Yeah. I even tried to look to see if the developer was making any more games, but on their website, it's pretty much only Doki Doki Literature Club. Like, if you go to their website and go to projects, that's the only thing that comes up.
Yeah.
So I was like curious if, you know, what's Dan up to?
I guess we'll find out.
He's got to be doing something. It doesn't seem like this guy sits around and does nothing. You know, he's like always doing cool stuff. So
probably keeping it on the DL.
Probably working on some other speed run or something.
But yeah. Anyway, so Nikki, did you complete the challenge of killing all your friends? Which again, we clarified that wasn't a very well worded challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did. From what I understood, I may try to make the choices so that, like, obviously I didn't kill them, but, like, my all friends all died.
Yeah.
And were killed at the end of the game. So, to me, I thought that I completed the challenge.
Yeah, I gave it to you, too.
Thank you.
Because there's not really anything else you could have done at that point anyway.
Yeah, true. I guess you could have given me a challenge to, like, maybe get the good ending.
You see,
would have given me, like, specifically, like, you have to woo Sayori over or something.
That would have been
good.
The thing is, I didn't really know much about it going into it.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of, I looked at an achievement list and I was just trying to, I picked one that sounded cool.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was cool. So, Eric, are you ready to know what the next game is going to be and the challenge?
I'm very curious because we apparently just bought it.
Yeah, I bought it today, but it's a game that we've played before many times over our lives. It's been around for a long time, and it involves dancing.
is it just dancing?
Yeah, oh my God. How did you guess?
It's a pretty obvious hint.
So I think I've been playing this since like Just Dance 4 or something. And now they don't even do like chronological order. They just do the year. Because they pretty much just come out with a new one every year. Kind of like, now that's what I call music or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's just called like Just Dance 2021 or Just Dance 2022 or whatever. And they just kind of update.
So like the Madden games or.
Yeah, exactly. And they just update with new music and new dances and stuff each year or whatever.
Okay.
So we're going to be playing Just Dance 2021, but I think I'm going to probably cover Just Dance as a whole like video game like.
Oh yeah,
franchise. Yeah. Call it? Is it called a franchise or like a?
Yeah.
What do you call it?
Okay. Yeah, franchise.
So I'm just gonna kind of cover like all of it as a whole.
Yeah, no, yeah, that makes sense.
But we're gonna be playing Just Dance 2021.
Okay, well, this is gonna be helpful to me because this month I started a pedometer challenge for my company. So.
Actually, like when you told me you were doing this challenge, I was like, oh, this is a good game. Like this is actually gonna help you get a lot of extra steps because you move your arms a lot in this game. So, are you ready for a challenge?
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna be too hard. I tried to make it not too easy, but not too hard.
Yeah.
So hopefully you don't hate me after this and your like arms and legs aren't all like super sore because you've been like dancing so much. But your challenge is, while playing Just Dance 2021, which is the one that I just bought today, you have to score 5 stars on 2 easy songs, 2 medium songs, and 2 hard songs.
Oh, wow. And okay. they can be any songs from the category?
Any songs that are on the game, but all the songs are kind of labeled by difficulty. So that's what I mean when I say easy, medium, and hard.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah, sounds good. I guess.
And 5 stars is the most amount of stars you can get.
Okay, so I pretty much have to do almost like a perfect game.
Yeah, but it's not impossible. You don't have to get perfect to get 5 stars, but like you have to do pretty good.
Okay, yeah, cool. So I guess I'll be doing a lot of dancing.
Yeah, you're going to get so fit. Be working on your fitness.
That'll probably be good for me.
All right, I'm excited. We haven't done a music or like dancing game yet, so I thought it would be kind of cool to do a game in this genre.
Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking about doing a music game for my next game, and I'll kind of have to rethink that idea now.
Uh-oh, I have to change it up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye. If you like what you heard, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and interact with us on Instagram. We definitely want to know what your favorite Halloween game is. And if you've played Doki Doki Literature Club, like, did it scare you very much? Did you like it? Let us know. See you next time.